to see you on this almost spring-like Wednesday evening. I was wearing a t-shirt today at work. I feel good. I'm all in on spring, although I saw another day coming up to be like 14 degrees at night, so I'm still looking forward to spring. It's not quite here yet, but it's around the corner, so hang in there. No more snow. My wife is giving me a dirty look for saying that, but I'm team no snow right now. We're past it. But it's good to see everyone here tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Chris Mitchell if you'd open us up with a word of prayer.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, thankful in our hearts for what the Lord Jesus has done for us. And as Brian has mentioned in the past, not to let it go, not to forget it, not to put it off, not to not deal with it. Every day, we are born-again Christians. We should live at a different level than the rest of the world. May they see that in us. May they not be able to condemn us for the things we do. But here we are tonight in a nice warm place, ready to hear the Word of God preached, and make our hearts tender to the Word and the leading of the Spirit of God. And thank you for Pastor Chris. May your word dwell in him richly, and may he encourage us, and we pray for him as we encourage him also, and ask you, Lord, that you would encourage him. So bless this night in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I would ask you, if you're willing and able, to stand with me, turn to page 145. We're going to sing Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary, page 145.
Sunday morning after Sunday school in Huaytai. This last Sunday we met for first time. This last Sunday we had a first time visitor, and the girls are excitedly talking about getting an Easter program together for the village, and including the young ladies from Kaita in the process. It's pretty bad when your pastor's saying a Spanish town like it's a Japanese town. Please pray much for these young people and their families. We also were able to restart the couples meeting with Pastor Suarez. Both in Salinas and Yaitai, Robbins worked with the youth at the same time, which allowed the families to come together. Some extra blessings from these meetings. Pastor Suarez has started evangelistic Bible study with several from the group in Salinas. We had four or five single women from our village come out to find out what the Bible says about marriage, and two of them will work back for our ladies' Bible study the next day. Please continue to pray with us that the Lord will continue to strengthen homes and draw the lost to Himself. As we look to a new month of fresh opportunities, we ask special prayer for evangelism in Salinas. Pastor Santana is meeting twice a month with Ivano. Pastor Suarez is planning to hold the Bible study twice a month. And Adreliai and Hannah have been meeting weekly with Donna Lucia. Our first Sunday school class has been rescheduled for March 20th. Please pray for our open hearts. Please pray also for Danny, our missionary to Madagascar, who is to arrive back in Brazil this Friday. Love and him, Robin and Hannah Reno. So please just keep them in prayer. Also, for this month, coming up since it's March, I was able to redo again. Thanks for Al for the time and the effort he put in over the years with the prayer bulletin. I know it's been gone for a little bit. We put a hold on it. But we redid a whole church bulletin now. It's going to be given out every month. It's going to have the events in there. It's got our missionaries in there. It's got our leaders in there to pray for them. And any announcements what's coming up for this month. And also in the back will be our memory verse for this month as well. Doing something a little different. I've never done this before, but I like to try to do it this way to cut down on some of the confusion that we had before with some things. But in this binder is for prayer requests. Okay, I know sometimes people say a prayer request and they don't want it going out, and other times people want it going out, and other times people want it going out, but then they want it stopped. So to try to solve all those issues all together, I'm going to put this binder up here. It's pretty self-explanatory. It's got the date requested by, your prayer request. But underneath it's got three boxes. One box says you want it in a bulletin just for 1 month. Okay, this is for April. You want it in there just for 1 month, or you want it in there until you desire for it to be removed. And then there's a box there to check whenever you want it to be removed from there. Okay, so if you give us a prayer request, it'll go in the bulletin. You can have it for 1 month or just as long as you want it to be, to stay in there, and we'll handle those prayer requests that way. But feel free to take one of these after the service. And I'm going to leave this on the organ. If anybody has any additional prayer requests that they would like to go into the bulletin for others to pray for, then we will put it in for April. Okay. So if you have any questions, ask myself or Melanie. Again, this is a work in progress. We had to change some things around, so put a little arrow here in the back, because where it says pray for our leaders, we accidentally put the Supreme Court over the President and the White House over the Supreme Court. So I'm sure everybody can figure that out there. So feel free to take one of these after the service. One last announcement. If any men are interested, this Saturday, Lord willing, this Saturday, March 5th at 9 o'clock, we'll be doing a prayer breakfast for the men at 9 o'clock here. Everybody's welcome to come if you're a man. Lord willing, in April, we'll be doing something with the ladies. What else was I going to say? I think that's it. If it comes from my mind.
No, I really enjoy listening to missionary letters. It's really cool to hear about how God's working, you know, whether it be across the states or in another country, different cultures. We have an awesome God. He's not bound by our language barriers. I couldn't go and witness in a Spanish-speaking country, but God has people that he can use, and his word is not restricted to the language we know. And he's spreading the gospel throughout the whole world. It's just really cool to hear how he's working people's lives all over the world. So I really enjoy the missionary letters. For our last song, I'd ask you to turn with me to page 183. If you're able, we stand and sing Rock of Ages.
And a lot of things that
check, make sure I'm. So is it not working? It's got, no.
So, there you go.
Good to go. All right. All righty. A lot going on, but I'm glad that I have a Savior I can run to and trust. And we're going to kind of look at those some of these things this evening. If you take your Bible, look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. And look at verse number 8 for context as we go through here, finishing up 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to look at some things this evening, I think, that hopefully will be a help to you, especially with the day and hour that we're living in. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 says this, "But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Goes on to verse 10, says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." Verse 14, last verse we'll read here this evening. "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, I pray you just lead, guide, and direct, Father, in everything that's said and done. Just ask for your wisdom and guidance, Lord. Just help us to see these things. Open our eyes, dear God, to behold wondrous things out of your word. Dear God, it would help us to draw closer to you in these last days that we're living in. We'll pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, we read or looked over a little bit last week, but verses 10 through 13, actually you go up to verse number 4 and all the way down to verse 13, it's pretty evident that everything that we see and we know on this earth, the Bible says it's going to be dissolved. It's going to melt away with fervent heat. Everything is going to be taken out. Everything. The earth, the heavens, wiped away. Okay? And it's pretty evident in there. And the Lord says it twice to kind of get our attention. He says in verse 11, dissolved. And he says in verse 12, in case we don't understand what dissolved mean in verse 11, he says it again in verse number 12. He says, "Wherein heavens being on fire shall be dissolved." That means taken away. So from verses 10 through 13, we know that the heavens and the earth will pass away with a great noise. We know that the elements shall melt with fervent heat. We know the earth and its works shall be burned up. Everything will be dissolved. Heaven will be on fire and will also be dissolved. A lot to look forward to. Kind of cheer up your heart there a little bit. Make you excited about everything just getting burned up. But if you're in Jesus Christ, you have nothing to worry about. You see, when it talks about the day of the Lord here, we've mentioned it also on Sunday night, the day of the Lord encompasses a bunch of events, from the rapture to the millennial, from the tribulation, the millennial reign of Christ, to the new heavens, new earth. The day of the Lord can encompass all of those events. In this particular instant here, it's referring to the very last thing that occurs. Take your Bible, look over at Revelation, the book of Revelation chapter 20. And look at verse number 11. Revelation 20, verse 11. This is when this is going to occur. What we're reading in 2 Peter chapter 3, this is when it's going to occur. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 11. All right? Well, look at verse 7. All right? Now we look at verse 7 here now. This is at the end of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. So I'll give you a little history here real quick. Hopefully very soon, the church will be taken out of here in the blessed hope, or what is called the rapture. Church is removed. God the Father then turns his eyes back on the nation of Israel. You got a 7-year tribulational period that takes place. The Antichrist comes in. The Jews have their temple built over there. In the middle of that tribulation, the Antichrist goes into that temple and he sets himself up and claims to be God. At the end of that 7 years, Jesus Christ is coming back. We're coming back with him. He's also coming back with angels. He's going to gather everyone together, the goats and the sheep. He's going to judge. He's going to deal with things. And then we're going to enter into the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. 1,000 years. It is going to be perfect on this earth. Before we go on 1,000 years, the devil is going to be bound up and tossed into the pit. So for 1,000 years, you're going to have as close to perfection as you can get. You're going to have Jesus Christ on the throne ruling and reigning. We, if we do what we're supposed to do here, make rule over nations and kingdoms, we're going to have jobs to do during the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. But look what happens at verse number 7 of Revelation chapter 20. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Verse number 8, chapter 20. And he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle. Look what it says this. The number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Brethren, you ever been to the beach? You go to the beach and you try to count those little granules of sand, you'll be there for the rest of your life and into eternity. Brethren, think about the heart of man here. Don't get discouraged when you try to witness to somebody and they reject the tract you try to hand to them. They reject you trying to say something about Jesus Christ. Here, brethren, listen, Jesus Christ is reigning for 1,000 years. You can see him. You can go to Jerusalem and look at him on a throne. He is going to have influence over this whole earth. Jesus, God, manifest in the flesh, perfection, a righteous judge. You're not going to buy off the Lord Jesus Christ. He is going to judge. Everything is going to be done right for 1,000 years. And yet at the end of that 1,000 years, the devil is going to be able to find a multitude of people to come and fight against Jesus Christ. You think they would have learned their lesson. You know what? A lot of people want heaven, but they don't want Jesus Christ. You hear me? That's why I got a lot of issues sometimes with people witness. I understand what I'm saying. It just scares me a little bit when people come up to somebody and say, well, you don't want to go to hell, but you want to go to heaven. All right, but the question should be, do you want a relationship with Jesus Christ? Be ye reconciled, not to heaven, but to Jesus Christ. I got saved because I wanted a relationship with my Savior. And the cherry on top of the sundae on the whipped cream is I don't have to go to hell and I get to go to heaven. But brethren, when I get to go to heaven, my eyes, look, I'd like to see the street of gold. I'd like to see everything. I'm sure there's going to be, I want to see Jesus Christ. That is the first individual that I want to see when I cross over to the other side. Show me Jesus. I want to go up and I want to hug my Savior. The one that loved a wretch like me. That's who I want to see, the Savior. So you see here, people have it perfect. They're still not happy. Satan gets loosed. Satan gets enough people to where it's the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Verse number 9. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And here it is, verse 9. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and forever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, here it is, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. God the Father's up there in heaven. Jesus is down here on the throne. The devil gets a bunch of people as the number of the sand of the sea, encompasses the holy city, get ready to make war. And God the Father says, I'm done with it. It's over. Whew, done. Satan's cast into the lake of fire, brimstone, there with the false prophet and the beast. And Father, I'm done. Heaven's wiped out. Earth's wiped out. And then we're going to come into the new heavens and the new earth. We're not getting that tonight. Now, Old Testament saints knew that this type of event would occur. Take your Bible, look at Psalms chapter 46. This is nothing new to the Jew. Okay? This is nothing new to the rabbis. If they read the scriptures, This is nothing new in Scripture that everything's going to be wiped out. Look at Psalm 46 and look at verse number 6. Psalm 46, 6. I think even verses 1 through 5 kind of talking about the millennial here, but that's a whole other story. But look at verse 6. The heathen raged, Psalm 46, verse 6. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. That's a cross-reference right back to Revelation chapter 20. God the Father speaks from heaven, done, over with, gone. Take your Bible, look at Psalm 68, verse number 1. Psalm 68, verse 1. Here, this talks about the wicked being melted away. Psalm 68, verse 1. Psalm chapter 68, we'll read verse 1 here. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. Look what it says. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. That will occur there in Revelation, what we read there in 2 Peter chapter 3 and Revelation chapter 20. God speaks, everything's wiped out and gone. All right. Now, take your Bible, look back over at 2 Peter chapter 3. Now, with that in mind, okay, with that in mind, we get a question asked to us as we read these verses tonight. With these thoughts in mind, that at some point here, this earth and everything that we know on this earth, and even the heavens that we can see, God says at some point in the future, it is all gone. Everything. It's gone. There's absolutely nothing that you can keep. There's nothing you can hold on to. The only thing that's going to cross over to is your soul. Okay? Your soul. With that in mind, look what the question gets asked by Peter in verse number 11. Look what he says. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What things? Everything that's in the earth and in the heavens is going to melt with a fervent heat. Even the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. Seeing then that these things shall be dissolved. Look at his question he asks. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? He asks a question here. Says, since all this is going to occur, he asks a question. What kind of manner of a person ought ye to be then in all holy conversation and godliness? Look, the word holy means this. One of the definitions of holy means this. Properly whole, entire, or perfect in a moral sense. Now, I'm going to get to some points here tonight that I hope will help us with what we're hearing in the news. Now, understand what I'm going to say here, and please take this the right way. Be careful how much news you take in concerning what's going on now with the Ukraine. Be very careful. And I say that to myself, because that stuff interests me. But one thing I can see it happen is if you spend a lot of time in it, it's going to bring in some other type of attitudes into your heart of either getting really mad about what's going on, getting really depressed about what's going on, getting really sad with what's occurring with people over there, what's going on. Brethren, pray and spend time with God. Because really, there's nothing more we can do for those individuals over there in the Ukraine other than pray for them, which is the best thing that you can do. I think sometimes the enemy, our minds and our hearts aren't built to receive all of this information. I don't think God made us to be able to take all of this in and it not affect our outlook on things. It not affect our heart. Peter, look, and I say all to say this. We already know the ending to the story. The Bible shows us the ending to the story. Eventually, it's all going away anyways. So the question with us knowing that eventually everything's going to dissipate anyways, we get a question asked to us of what manner of persons ought ye to be, you and me? What kind of people ought we to be because everything we see is going to be dissolved? We ought to be people that are of a holy conversation and godly. Godliness. Why? Because, number one, to fulfill the will of the Father, and then also to be a witness to lost souls. Holy. Again, a definition means entire or perfect in a moral sense. Take your Bible, look at Matthew chapter 5. I believe the Lord desires for us in these last days, as we move along and we get more news come across our path of wars and rumors of wars and disease and pestilence and earthquakes and just all these bad things that are going to come upon this earth, I believe the Lord desires for us to be of a holy conversation, a perfect and complete life, a Christian life as an example to this lost world. Look what it says. Matthew chapter 5, look what the Lord says in verse 48. Matthew 5, verse 48. Look what the Lord requires. He says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Jesus tells those that are standing around there, he says, listen, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Take your Bible, look over at Philippians chapter 3. Being perfect. That was one of the definitions of the word holy. Perfect. Look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. Brethren, please, what I mean by this holy conversation, what I mean by this conversation, let me give you a definition now. I know we talked about before. It's basically your manners. It's your behavior. So if we put these words together, we could put it together this way. A life that is exhibited to the lost, that's perfect in its behavior and manners according to the Word of God. And this is what I mean by that. This world needs to see Christians that aren't scared but have peace. This world needs to see Christians that don't get depressed with what's going on but have joy with what's going on. This world doesn't need to see Christians getting angry and mad in the sense of, "I hate Putin, down to hell with Putin." And people have said those types of things. Rather, a heart and a love to those that are lost. What I'm talking about is a whole and a perfect type of behavior to this world. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." How do you get this perfect state, this state of the right kind of behavior with this lost world? By counting those things that you have as loss. Paul says, "But those things that were gained to me, those I count at loss for Christ." Look at verse 8. "Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss." For why, Paul? "For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." You see Paul's mind here as he's writing to the Philippians. His heart is coming out. And what he's saying is his life is bound up and wrapped up with the cause of Jesus Christ. Everything else, he counts it but loss. And not just loss, he looks at it as if it's dung. You see, Paul's mindset, Paul is fixated on the knowledge and the excellency of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, "And be found in him," in Jesus. Look what he says. "Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." That's salvation. Listen, my righteousness, what I do, listen, I cannot work my way into heaven. There's nothing good in me or that I can do that would merit me heaven, that would merit me perfect before God the Father. You see, God the Father requires sinless perfection in order to enter into his presence. In order to enter, listen, if you take your last breath and you want to go to be with Jesus Christ there in the heaven, you cannot gain access there unless you are perfect and holy and sinless. You cannot enter there. You got the Ten Commandments, and a lot of people try to keep the Ten Commandments. They think, well, if I keep the Ten Commandments or I do my best to try to keep the Ten Commandments, my good will outweigh my bad because I'm not as bad as Putin is right now. I'm not as bad as Hitler was. I never killed nobody. I never raped nobody. I lived a pretty good life, and consider to others, I'm pretty good. No, the Ten Commandments weren't given to us to merit us righteousness. The Ten Commandments were given to us for it to be a mirror to show us our need of a Savior if we're honest. You look at the very first commandment, and you failed. Just the first commandment, much less the rest of them. So the Ten Commandments and the rest of the laws that were given to the Jews were to show mankind, it was a schoolmaster, it's a mirror to show us that we need a Savior. And that was found in Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ is my righteousness. He shed his cross. He lived a sinless, perfect life. He went to the cross of Calvary. He bore the wrath of God the Father upon him because of sin. That wrath was poured out upon the Son instead of you and I. It was poured out upon the Son. He was forsaken of the Father so that you and I that are saved may never be forsaken by the Father. And now that I'm saved, I now have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, imputed to me. It's almost like I had a debt. Jesus Christ wiped out the sin debt and his blood washed it away, wiped it away, never to be seen again. And I now have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I can now go to heaven because of what Jesus Christ did for me. I have his righteousness, not my own. You see, that's what it says here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. And being found in him, who? I'm found in Jesus. I'm now in Jesus, and Jesus is now in me. And be found in him, look what it says, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith. I place my faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Look at verse 10 now. That I might know him, and how I can get a better job, or make more money, or get a better house, or no. Paul says here to the Philippians, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Look what he says though in these next verses. Remember we're talking about being perfect, a holy conversation and godliness. Look what he says in verse 12. Paul says, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Let me ask you this question tonight. Have you been apprehended by Christ Jesus? Paul says, I've been apprehended by Christ Jesus, and as I've been apprehended by him, my desire is then to apprehend him. He's apprehended me, now I want to apprehend him. I want to draw closer to him. I want to have more fellowship with him. I want to be nearer to my Savior, the one who died for me. Verse number 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be, look what he says here, be perfect. Well, Paul, I thought you just said that you weren't perfect. He's not perfect in the flesh, but he's perfect in the spirit. You see, after you get saved, you don't get your new body yet. You're still left in this fleshly body. But when you get saved, your spirit has been born again of God. You're still striving for perfection. You're still striving for that holy conversation. You're still striving to make sure your life is as close to godliness as you can get it in this flesh. Bringing the flesh into subjection to the Spirit to allow your life, to allow the life of Lord Jesus Christ to work through you. There's a lot in that, and it's hard to get into it one little Bible study here on Wednesday night. But listen, we're told daily to crucify this flesh, to live and walk in the Spirit, not the flesh. You see, a Christian can still walk in the flesh. A Christian can still do things that displeases his Savior. He can't lose his salvation because he has the righteousness of Jesus Christ, but what he or she can do is lose reward. You can lose reward. And that's where it talks about the judgment seat of Christ in Corinthians, where it talks about wood, hay, stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones. Right now, in your Christian walk, you're laying up something over there on the other side. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Brethren, I guess my point tonight in this Bible study on a Wednesday night is brethren, what are you living for? Because if you're living for this world right here, Peter says, it's gone. Peter's saying in 2 Peter chapter 3, he's telling the brethren back then, he's like, listen, brethren, I want you to get your head out of the sand and realize everything you see is going to melt away with a fervent heat. It's going to be dissolved. And what manner of persons ought ye to be? What are you living for? Is your life an example of a holy conversation in godliness, or is it a life that's living in the flesh and pleasing yourself? You see, my desire, and I know it's a common theme here in this church with me lately, but my desire is for you to have gold, silver, and precious stones over there someday for your Savior, for His honor, for His glory. I don't want to go home ashamed. And see, you can go home, and we're going to look at it here in 2 Peter chapter 3. You can go home with some blemishes, with some spots. And it's in the next verse we're going to read here in 2 Peter chapter 3. I want to make sure that I'm going home without no spots or blemishes. I want to go home. I want to go home with not much wood, hay, stubble. I know I got some up there, but I kind of want to negate it and make it less and less in these last days that I'm living. Paul says here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 16. Look what he says to verse 16. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained. Look what he says here. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Look what he says in verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. Look what he says in verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame. Look what it says next. Who mind earthly things. These are individuals who claim to be loving God, claiming to be following Jesus Christ, yet the Bible says they mind earthly things. They mind earthly things. Their mindset is, what can I attain in this life? What can I get in this life? What can I treasure up in this life? I saw a quick article this week, and I thought how sad this individual is in the state he's in. I'm sure most people heard here, some I believe, maybe some haven't, of an individual by the name of Michael Jordan. Okay, one of the best basketball players probably ever to live. He got billions and billions of dollars, but the man's miserable. I read an article about him about 20 years ago. I read an article about him that he can't go to sleep at night without some type of noise in his apartment or wherever he's living. He's got to turn on what he says he does because he's so miserable that he turns on an old black and white movie and he lets it just play, and he also tries to drink alcohol to help him fall asleep at night. Now, I'll tell you why the man's so miserable, because he's tried to get everything this world has to offer and everything has left him high and dry. His password at one of the places to get in, his password was Yahweh. That's fearful. Consider himself almost like he's a god. But I heard this week that he's selling one of his cars, and it's a Mercedes-Benz, and there's only 115 of them in the world. And I got thinking, you couldn't pay me to get that car. And I got thinking, how foolish is man to put such an emphasis, well, I got a car, and there's only 115 of them in the world, and I got one of them, and you don't. But what is it going to matter tomorrow when you take that last breath and you cross over into eternity? God's not going to look at you and say, oh, well, you had a Mercedes and there was only 115 of them. Well, guess what? I made all these stars out here. And I know all their names. You think God's impressed with a man and a car that he has? You think God is impressed with a man in his bank account? God's not impressed with any of it. And I fear for that man someday, because I know there was an evangelist one time when I was a teenager, came by our church and said he had an opportunity to witness to him. Had an opportunity to witness to him. Man is going to be sorely, sorely regretting when they cross over to the other side. Look at verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven. Remember what he talked about in 2 Peter chapter 3, a holy conversation? Look what it says in verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that the same exact thing as it says over there in 2 Peter chapter 3? Right after it says holy conversation and godliness, says looking for and hasting unto the coming day of God. The same type of thing that Peter was saying, Paul's saying the exact type of same thing to those there at Philippi. Our conversation in heaven, looking for the return of Jesus Christ. Verse 21, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Holy conversation. A perfectness. Jesus said, be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. You see, now that you're saved, you have the ability to live a holy and a godly life. There's no excuse. There's no excuse for us before God the Father to say, Lord, I just didn't have the proper training. Lord, I didn't have the proper equipment. Lord, I didn't have the proper instruction manual on to do what you wanted me to do, Lord. The Lord's going to say, yes, you did. You had a Bible. You don't come up to me later and say, well, preacher, what about the person in the middle of the Amazon? They ain't got a Bible. Well, we're not the person in the middle of the Amazon without the Bible. We're right here in America, and we got probably 5 Bibles at home. Okay, we got a Bible. So God expects us. We're, brethren, if you don't hear anything else, I close up here tonight. We're accountable. Yes, sir. We're accountable. And as your pastor, as your preacher, I want to get that into your head. If this is the last time you ever see me, God forbid something happen to me as I walk out these doors tonight and go home, and you'll never see me again, I want you to realize you're accountable. You're accountable, not to me. You're accountable to your Savior. You're accountable to the one who died for you. Think about that for a moment. Go back and read through the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And then think of any excuse you can make and try to give it to the Lord. There's none. There's no excuse. Now, I don't want you to be discouraged. You say, oh, no. Paul says, look what he says here in verse number 13. This is what I want you to do. Don't get discouraged tonight. Actually, get happy tonight. Look at verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But look what he says. But this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If you've got something done in the past, get it underneath the blood of Christ, forget it, and take from this moment forward and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. From this moment forward, live your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him to show you. Ask him to help you. Ask him to lead and guide and direct you through his holy word in how you can live a holy conversation, have holy conversation and live in godliness. Now, flip back over there to 2 Peter chapter 3. And look at verse 14. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Talks about a holy conversation and godliness in verse 11. Then verses 12 and 13 talk about again how everything is going to be dissolved, melted. The elements are going to melt with fervent heat. And he says in verse 13, nevertheless, we according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's another questionnaire that you need to ask individuals that are lost. Do you desire righteousness? A lot of people want heaven, but a lot of people do not want righteousness, holiness, living a righteous and godly life. Few want that. Verse 14, wherefore, because of these things that we've just looked at in chapter 3,
Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent. Look what he says, that ye may be found of him, who, Jesus, in peace, look what he says, without spot and blameless. Be diligent. The word diligent means steady in application of business, constant in effort or exertion to accomplish what is undertaken. You can't take a day off. If you're striving to live for Jesus Christ, you can't take a day off. You can't live off of yesterday's blessings. You can't live off of last year's walk with the Lord. It's a daily thing in walking with Jesus Christ. And you can't take a day off. It's constant effort. It's constant diligence. Why? That you may be found of him in peace. Found of him in peace. I think the devil's done a wonderful job stealing Christians' peace. Stealing peace. The Bible says, hold your peace. Don't let the devil steal your peace. There's peace in Christ Jesus. There's quietness. There's tranquility. There's freedom from disturbance or agitation with the Lord Jesus Christ. How many Christians today live in a constant state of fear, terror, anger, anxiety, or the like? How many Christians live and walk in a state of mind that is not tranquil, a state of mind that doesn't have peace? I'm going to give you a few things here tonight, real quick, as we close up here, about peace. I believe if you want to please your Savior, I believe there's things that we can do that when the Lord comes back could put, or we go home to heaven, that could put a smile on our Savior's face. Those of you that have had children, hasn't there been times when they've been little, if you had your kids when and they were little, that they put a smile on your face because of something they did? Something they did just made you smile because they did something that just pleased you and it just put a smile on your face. Think of that in the light of our Savior. I believe this thing that we're going to look over here real quick tonight before we close up. When he comes, just imagine as Jesus, let's say we go home, all of us go home by way of the rapture. Okay? Let's say all of a sudden things out here start getting really bad. Really bad. I'm talking about things that could really steal your peace, really put fear and terror and the like in your heart. But you're able to deal with it. You're able to get it underneath the blood of Christ, and you're able to walk with your Savior in peace and trusting Him and what His Word says, and you rest upon it, and you got peace in your heart knowing that Jesus is in control of all of it. And that moment He comes through that clouds, your heart's right, you got peace, and you know He's got you in the palm of His hand. No matter if the world flees around you, you say, Lord, I know I'm in your hand, and whatever you allowed to occur in my life, Lord, I know that you know what's going on, and it's not catching you by surprise, and Lord, I'm just going to trust you. And you have that peace there. And He comes through those clouds, and he looks at His saint, and He says, look at that one. That one's, I'm finding him. When I'm coming back, I'm finding them. And they got peace in their heart. All this is going on around the world, and I'm coming back, and they got peace. I think that'll put a smile on our Savior's face. We can have peace. We can live in peace. Though the world falls apart around us. Take your Bible, look at Psalm chapter 4, verse 8. How do you get peace? How do you keep peace in your life and in your heart? Look at Psalm chapter 4, verse 8. This is a wonderful verse. This is a wonderful verse. If you're saved, we're even more secure than David. Look what Psalm 4, verse 8 says. I will both lay me down in what? In peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Brethren, who keeps you safe? Every day, Jesus Christ. You know, I wonder someday if we're going to go home to heaven I don't know if this will occur or not. This is just me wondering. Maybe if we get home to heaven someday and the Lord pulls us aside one time and just starts walking with us and he says, you know what, let me show you a few things. Remember when you were down there on earth? I just want to show you a few times that I kept you safe and you had no clue that I was keeping you safe. You were walking by that street corner and you didn't see that man hiding behind that door. He was getting ready to rob you. I kept you safe from it. I didn't let it occur. Remember that time you were driving that car? You were listening to some music. You were thinking on me. You didn't even see that guy coming up out of your blind side. And he was about to T-bone you. And yet I kept you safe. Brother, my point tonight to you is, you don't keep yourself safe. Jesus Christ keeps you safe. Because the Bible says, this is a promise. I can lay my head down in peace and sleep. Why? Because I can rest and trust and know that the Lord maketh me dwell in safety. Take your Bible, look at Psalm chapter 29, verse 11. Psalm 29, and look at verse number 11. Psalm 29, and verse number 11. Psalm 29, verse 11. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. If you're one of his children, he will bless you with peace. And with us, now that we have the new birth, that's found in Jesus Christ. Look at Psalm 37. Flip over a couple chapters. Look at Psalm 37 and look at verse 37. Psalm 37, verse 37. You want to know how you all can also have peace? Follow them that are living for God. Look at Psalm 37, 37. Mark the perfect man. Isn't that what Paul was talking about there in Philippians? Talking about perfection and being perfect. Well, if you're going to strive to live for God, I believe God will put individuals in your life that you can follow after and their examples that they set for you. Hopefully one of them can be your preacher. I hope I can be an example and strive to live a life that's a holy life, that's a godly life, that you can try to follow as I try to follow Christ. And if you don't want to find somebody in the faith that is living for Jesus Christ, because Paul or the Bible says here, David says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Now listen, brethren, I had to go to school in order to be work with those kids down there in the juvenile center in South Carolina. And I got a bachelor's degree in Christian counseling, and then I went and got a master's degree in human service counseling, dealing with crisis and trauma. PTSD, acute stress disorder, you want an ODD, if you want whatever label you want to put on it, I had to go to school for it. And what I see a lot of Christians today and a lot of individuals doing, because it was in the classes that I had to take, and even some stuff that I'm going through now to get some other things that I'm trying to get just to learn. A lot of today's Christianity, the answer is to go to a Christian psychiatrist. That's not the answer. Well, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, no, I've gone to school for it. That's not the answer. And it's one of the things that frustrated me when I was going through the classes that I was going through. And see, what happens is you get a lot of Christians that believe that the only answer to their problems is counseling from a psychologist rather than a pastor. Brethren, I believe this as sure as I'm standing here. Jesus Christ can help you with whatever you're going through. I believe that. I believe Jesus Christ can bring deliverance to a heroin addict. I believe it. Will it be an easy road? Absolutely not. But I believe it can occur. Too many today are going and they're getting on prescription drugs. And they're getting temporary help, but they're not getting complete help. Cannot Jesus Christ make you whole? Can he make you whole? I believe he can. Brethren, look at that man that was possessed with devils. A legion of them. He was there in those tombs. They couldn't contain him. They would put fetters on him, handcuffs. They would try to bind him to try to control that madman of the Gadarenes. Read about him. He was so full of devils, he could break those chains apart. Brethren, I've been around young men that I believe had devils, and they're so strong, it takes 4 or 5 grown men that are 300 pounds to try to hold them down. And they hold them down long enough so somebody could put a shot in their rear end to basically tranquilize them. Mental hospitals down there in South Carolina, that's what they do. I've had kids talk to me about it. Chap, I mean, I would get in there with some of the roughest kids there were. One of them was named Savion. Man, this young man, I knew him from the time he was little, but he grew up to this huge young man. I'm thinking, man, I would never want to mess around with him. He had been shot on the streets. I've known him for a while. He was wild. People were afraid to go even talk to him. He would get up and climb up, and he would get to places you think a human being couldn't get to in a building. Rip down televisions that were up. If you've ever been in a prison, rip down the televisions. He would get in somehow and figure out how to start fires in the lights. This kid was crazy. But he would tell me, he's like, Chap, and I would try talking with him sometimes, and he was like, Chap, yeah, they took me to the mental hospital last week. I kind of went crazy. Next thing I know, I was knocked out. I said, what do you mean knocked out? He's like, yeah, when I get crazy, man, they shoot something at me, hit me in the rear end, boof, I'm gone. Brethren, I say all these things to say, listen, I've seen with kids, young people, that they try to drug them up and they try to deal with these issues that they're having, and they're trying to deal with all the issues they got, everything but the Bible. Everything but Jesus Christ. And guess what? I've seen psychologists and psychiatrists that time after time scratch their head, figure, well, I don't know what else we can do. There's nothing else you can do outside of Jesus Christ. It was a revolving door. A revolving door. One time I had a young girl, I said this before, she's pulling her hair, literally pulling her hair out. And she's sitting there, they put her into what's called a wet cell. Basically, it's got nothing in it. They stick them in there, and sometimes they'll put them in what's called a turtle suit. And that's for people that aren't suicide. Basically, they're butt naked, but they put a little something around them that they can't tear apart and use to try to kill themselves. Called a turtle suit. She's sitting in this cell there. Nobody knows what to do. The psychiatrists come out to me and say, Chap, you go and see if you can help out. I'm thinking, you're the one with the doctorate degree in psychology and psychiatry. You can't help them? I go in there and I sit down in there and I put my arm around, I start trying to pray for her, and she starts to calm down. Brethren, my point tonight is that the answer is Jesus Christ. You can have peace with God. And a peace does not have to be found in a pill. Now, I will say this, that if there happens to be anybody in here tonight that is on prescription medication for these types of things, you cannot just drop it off and get off of it. So I'm not saying for you to do that if you are doing that, because that is dangerous as well. They've set some of these drugs up, brethren, to where people can't just get off of them. You know some of these instances where people have gone crazy? A normal person gets put on these drugs because something happens in their life that's traumatic. They go see psychiatrists. Other than that, they've had a normal life pretty much, but they have one traumatic event. They go see a psychiatrist to deal with it. They write them out a prescription and give them a drug to take, and they start taking that drug. And they start getting help. And they feel like, I've gotten over it now, I'm good to go, and they cold turkey that drug. And the next thing you know, they're picking up a drug and going shooting up a movie theater. Because something trips when these people cold turkey some of these drugs that they're giving to them now. I got a whole YouTube video on it, and Melanie and I have watched, of a psychiatrist that have a conference talking about this psychiatrist. She's telling these other psychiatrists, listen, you cannot just cold turkey off of these drugs because it's causing normal people to go crazy when they go off of them. Normal people. All of a sudden, they're killing their wife or they're killing their son. Brethren, there's somebody my wife and I know. A pastor's wife's parents, the father, her daddy, had some depression, goes to see a doctor, Christian man, getting rid of prescription. He starts taking it, gets off, ends up killing his wife, killing himself. Other than that, a normal man. Brother, my point tonight is this. I don't know why I went down this road. But you can have peace in Jesus Christ. You can have peace by the scriptures, but you see, most people won't put into practice what needs to be put into practice. And it's not an easy road. I'm not saying any of this is an easy road. Actually, I'm saying it's probably one of the hardest roads that any of us will go down. But I do believe with all my heart and with everything that the answers are found in this Bible. I believe that as sure as I'm staying here tonight. Lastly, look at Psalm 50, 85, verse 6. Psalm 85, verse 6. Look at this verse real quick. I know I've gone a little over, but please look at this verse. Psalm 85, and look at verse 6 and 8. Verse 6 to 8. Psalm 85. Look what the Bible says here. Psalm 85, verse 6. Psalm 85, verse 6. The psalmist says this, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that we may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly." You see, the Lord will speak peace, but if you turn back to folly again, you're going to lose that peace again. Real quick, look at Psalm 142. Psalm 142, look at verse 1. Talking about peace. This is David crying out. Look what David says. "I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice and the Lord did I make supplication." David says, "I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble." Look what David says in verse 3. "When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, had they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry." Look what he says. "For I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I." Look what he says. "Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall pass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me." I wanted to read that psalm as we close up tonight to show you that there's many instances through the psalms of David and others who use this word overwhelmed, driven to despair. David's crying out and he's saying, "No man cared for my soul." David feels alone. This psalm says that he's in a cave. David was running from his father-in-law who's trying to kill him. David was plagued in the mind. David's in a point of depression and despair. He's overwhelmed, yet he pours out his complaint to God, and God hears him. He cries out to God and says, "God, I'm brought very low. Deliver me from those that persecute me." You know where the strongest persecution comes from today for Christians? It's in the mind. It's not outward. Most of us don't face persecution outwardly from individuals. The persecution and the enemies that we fight nowadays as Christians, in this country at least, if you're striving to live for God, is the persecutors and the enemies that strive to get the thoughts into your head. It's a mind battle. It's a battle for the heart. Isaiah 26. I know I'm going over, but I want to read this. Isaiah 26, verse 3. If you don't have this verse memorized, it's a good verse to memorize. Isaiah 26, 3. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." There's that word again, perfect, and the word peace. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." Why? Because he trusteth in thee. That's why today's media, social media, news, computers, phones, be careful how much time you spend watching other things, because it can steal your peace. The way you keep perfect peace is by keeping your mind stayed on God, stayed on the Lord Jesus Christ, stayed on his word. "That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him, Why? Because he trusteth in thee. Though the world be dissolved, I'm safe in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, I thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. Lord, I know I've gone over a little bit, Lord, but I believe it was needful tonight. God, I pray you'd help me not to forget these things. Lord, it's easy to preach on it, but more difficult to live. Lord, I pray you'd help, Lord, all of us, dear God, that are saved to implement these things found in the Holy Scriptures. Lord, that we'd keep our minds stayed on thee, Lord. Lord, that you would help us to stay in a place of peace and rest, knowing, Lord, that you alone keep us safe. Lord, help us to walk with you, dear God. And Lord, I pray for any saint that's here this evening, dear God, that's troubled in the mind. Lord, those are the hardest battles in the entire, in my opinion, Lord, for me, it's the hardest battles, those battles of the mind. God, I pray, Lord, I don't know tonight, Lord, if there's someone here struggling tonight in the mind, dear Lord, with depression or feeling down, just feeling out, Lord. If there's someone here tonight just feels like nobody cares, dear God, I pray you'd help them, Lord. Lord, I pray you'd reach down and strengthen and encourage them, Lord. If they're overwhelmed, if their soul feels like it's in a prison, if they feel like they've been brought low and they can't get up, Lord, strengthen them, help them, encourage them, and watch over them, Lord, I pray. Lord, even if it's somebody listening on to the live stream, I don't know, dear God, why I went over some of these things tonight. But Lord, those that might be watching live stream, Lord, I pray if it's someone out there, Lord, you'd help them. You'd help them to get in the Bible, to get into the Scriptures, to read the Psalms, and to see that the help that they can find in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to love you more. I'll pray it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen, brethren.